money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy to have you along. This is the show where Dave and Reb talk about money. We have a very special guest who has been here lots, but he's still a very special guest. Welcome to the show, Ray.
Aren't you glad to know that you're still special?
Yes, of course. So I want to give a shout out to Financial Discipleship Canada. Ray, that's the organization that you work with, and your website or web presence is notmine.ca. And again, we love the partnership. We love both virtually how our two organizations intersect, but also just so we get to have these conversations together. Mm-hmm. So welcome and thank you. If you're looking for previous shows with Ray, and you can actually search them on our website, morethanenough.ca. You can find them on notmine.ca. You can find them on our YouTube channel, Let's Talk Money with Dave and Reb, and any of the podcasting platforms that you might be listening to. So lots of places to find the shows. If there's a particular topic or show you're looking for, often you'll find that as you do the search, and or maybe if you know who the guest is, then you can do that as well. So there you go.
So I have a question this morning. Yeah. How comfortable are you guys talking about money with other people? Of course, you're going to tell me you're very comfortable, but I imagine.
I'm growing in. Yeah, I would say more and more comfortable.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, I was just thinking the context. I'm really comfortable with saying, hey, I just bought this new motorcycle and guess how good a deal I got on it. No problem talking about it in that context. Talking about yours and my last money fight in the context of community, I'm not so sure I'm comfortable with that.
We've had a money fight recently?
Well, I didn't say recently.
You guys had a money fight?
Yeah, no, I didn't say recently.
Okay, let's talk about that.
From 2013? And we're pretty good. Anyway, we're not perfect by any means. But okay, because we're going to talk about, I want to ask the listeners, but of course they can't feed back. So I have to rely on you guys. Like, how comfortable are people talking about money in community, and what can we do about it to encourage people to talk about money? Because I recently recorded a video that's going to come out someday, soon, about this very thing, about being in community with people. But community is messy and it's hard. Sometimes we've been hurt. I mean, sex and money, nobody wants to talk about those things in community at all. Although I do know that the Met recently has done an alpha course with marriage couples, and they have a session all on sex in that alpha marriage course. And then we came and had done an evening on money. So that's really great. Mm-hmm. Like, there are some great places and great tools for people to use, but we're going to talk about this a little bit more on how do we enter community? How do we overcome the fear, the shame even to get there? But one of you is going to read scripture.
I've got it. So, you know, and you know, the reality is as we look at the scripture, that of course is, we can see different pockets of community as we read through scripture. I mean, we can look through the Old Testament. We can see how the Israelites intersected, separated themselves when they were in Egypt. They, you know, again, all of those things. Today we're just going to look at Acts 2 because that really, again, gives us a little picture into the emerging community in faith in Christ Jesus. What did that community look like? And again, how are they navigating this new way of thinking in Christ Jesus, this new, freedom that they'd experience? And so I'll just start at verse 40 in Acts chapter 2, again, reading from the NIV. With many words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the to their number that day. So that's the context for, we also have this instant community of 3,000 people who have accepted the words of Christ and said, okay, yeah, we're in. What do we do now? Right? And so the writer of the Acts just goes on in verse 42, and it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So those four things, the teaching of the apostles, to fellowship, I think that includes donuts, but anyways, well, the breaking of bread and then prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so, you know, here you get a little bit of a picture of this instant community figuring it out as they go along. And I love this part because it speaks directly to what were they doing with their money and their possessions? Like, you know, what happened in that? And that's what we like to talk about. So there we are. So Reb, you can take the conversation from here.
Yeah, these Acts verses are always, anyway, they're profound when you actually dig into what they were doing to be community together. Mm-hmm, yeah. And, yeah, I don't see a lot of that in the area where I live, mm-hmm. this kind of life. So it's not saying that we have to be that, but, it's just interesting. I guess my question then for us is, Ray, you have been in, the financial world a little bit now for a few years with the work you do in financial discipleship at the Canadian National Christian Foundation. And you've started to talk about more money more and more, mm-hmm. and you've been talking with us every month about money and the heart issues. How has that been for you? Have you been able to be in community and talk about this topic?
You know, as I was reflecting upon it, preparing for the program today, I kind of went through my mind all the learnings that I have gone through. And I think, you know, the initial revelation, okay, God, you really care about money. Mm-hmm. And actually seeing from his word that there is a lot to be said about that 2,300 verses. And so it's like, okay, Lord, if that was so important to you, then obviously I should give it some attention. Because I really never have. And so I think over, you know, because it's been almost 10 years now. Yeah. So over the 10 years, I think, Lord, you really taught me more and more to talk about these areas. You know, first within a small group setting, leading small groups, talking about how you get out of debt, how do you steward your finances well, to doing webinars on the topic, and now working with the foundation, talking to various peoples, whether they are the donors who are giving funds, and also wanting to be faithful stewards with the provision God's given to them. And then talking to projects who are recipients, particularly international projects in other nations, talking about how they're managing their finances, even as a project. So I've discovered it's quite a broad spectrum of having conversations depending on the scenario in which they're walking.
Right.
And so for me, I would say, you know, I've become more and more comfortable talking about it and asking questions, because I think it's one of those subjects you said, like sex and money, who talks about those things? So people are kind of suspicious if you start asking any questions, especially if you get real personal. But I think I've come to the realization that if the more transparent we are, the more we all learn together. Mm-hmm. So if I risk and am vulnerable, then you might glean from me. And that's my hope by doing it, that you don't make the same mistakes that I've learned. Or if I've learned something that you haven't thought of, maybe that would inspire you to go on a journey and explore that too in the whole area of money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's been, I would say it's been rewarding. Mm. As I made that decision, it has been life-changing. My wife would say the same thing.
Interesting, because, you know, when we were talking about, I was thinking about different communities. And in the business community, we talk about money often. In fact, it's kind of a, this is one of the, I'll say, common topics where when we're talking about our businesses and we're talking about what we do in business in that community, there's a lot of freedom and a lot of talk around money to go, okay, this is what we've done to generate more income, or this is what we're spending to do that. I have found it much more natural in the business community to talk about money than in the personal community. Which I found, again, reading these Acts verses, they are coming into community face to face. Like they are living together and grabbing hold of this new heart-changing faith that's happened to them. And so it was interesting observation from my end in terms of the different communities and how money is talked about in those different communities.
And I would say the first place that I talked about money really was with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like your first community, if you're married, is going to be your spouse and your family. And how are we talking about money in those spaces? And I mean, we have a gazillion shows. I'm sure people could, or that you could just call us and we talk to you about it. But I think there is some fear around community and money. Mm. We've given the language around money talk the word stewardship in Christian circles. That's all I knew about money was, are you being a good steward? Well, what is it? What is that word? Like Dave and I are trying not to use the good and bad words. Like we had a show recently about, you know, CTV had done a story about good debt, bad debt. So we're trying to take like, okay, necessary debt, unnecessary. You just threw out the words, you know, responsible borrowing. We're trying to take some of those moral words out around money because what does it mean to be a good steward? Mm. You're a steward. So you manage all kinds of things that you've been given. But it's not just about giving 10%. There's more to the conversation than saying, oh, well, if we just check these boxes, then, you know, we're doing the right things. But how do we talk about this? I guess this gets deeper into the more nitty gritty. If we say, oh, it's more than just talking about a 10% stewardship goal, and we want to talk more about the heart issues and what's going on. Like, how would a listener start that conversation in their small group? Mm. You know, and what, you know, Ray, maybe if you could share some of the things that have been rewarding, like what have you learned specifically? Are there some things that have been really good and rewarding for you?
You know, I was thinking about that. I think the first thing was the revelation that you can actually live without debt.
Right.
Because it was so part of life. And so that revelation, oh, that's right. And once you taste it, it's like, it is so freeing. And so.
So did that mean for like your consumer debt, like credit cards, credit lines, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I was getting rid of credit cards and not living off of them because I finished my graduate studies on a credit card.
Right.
You know, so not wise, you know, and then getting married and then having a house and a mortgage and all those kinds of stuff, line of credit, I forget what kind of mortgage that was where you just paid the interest. Well, I didn't pay down principal during that time. It was not a wise decision given our lifestyle. So it was like, okay, Lord, let's begin to identify the areas where we could manage money differently.
So. And that came out in community? That was something you learned together with others?
I think talking about it, and I mean, you guys were so instrumental in some of that in the beginning. I think the other part from you too, I know that very clearly, was the whole concept of money dates.
Right.
I've never heard the term before, and I know we've talked about it here, but for my wife and I, that's a very rich experience to do that. I think
for Reb and I too, by the way, just to give a little promotion for the money.
And that means you're meeting with your partner or yourself if you're single.
Yeah.
You can do it with yourself because our kids do it on their own all the time. You're sitting down praying, but actually going through the nitty gritty, like weekly or every couple weeks with the details. Yeah, so,
Okay, like Rego.
So the other thing I would say is possibility of learning to pay off your mortgage early. I heard out there people joined like, I don't know how they do it. Something happened like that. But I remember, David, you doing a teaching at a church that I was also doing some teaching, and you shared this, and it's like, oh, okay, so really, I could look at this differently, and if we were intentional about it, we could do that. So having a discussion about that was like, okay, I think there's the wisdom gleaned by speaking to friends about how they manage their investments. What does that look like? I think back of some conversations I had around a table about how they did that. And so different people shared their different experiences. Some manage their own investments, their stocks, and that's just beyond me. And that's not my area of expertise. And so hearing them, and then somebody else saying, you know what? There are different kinds of financial advisors. Perhaps you need to be looking for somebody that might have more access to other resources to invest in. And so for me, it was like a set off an adventure in exploring who that might be and what might that look like. And actually that has been very rich and blessing. I would think the other one is, what motivates you to give? And hearing from others, so how do you choose which charities you give to? How much do you give to? Do you do that out of relationship? Do you do it out of, you know, part of the training that I had earlier on was there's certain categories, you know, for the poor and the widows and, you know, different themes and that kind of stuff. And it's like, okay, so needing to wrestle that one through, but hearing it from others was like very insightful on that.
And did that come out of a small group? Did that come from you just talking after church on Sunday?
It was a small group.
Yeah,
it was hearing what others, actually, I think, if I remember, that group was 25 people around the table dialoguing about how do you choose who you give to.
Right.
Oh, that's really
interesting. So that was very rich, hearing other people's stories about that process. And then the other one is learning how to make systems work for you.
Right.
Once again, it came up in some conversations with some friends. And so the whole experience of working with, say, like a Tangerine account and having funds set aside that are kind of out of your purview, not there and you want to grab or easily shift it or whatever. Actually, that was incredible blessing for us. And if I hadn't gleaned that from others in dialoguing about it, that would have been, I think, just a really important aspect of our financial journey at this point that has helped us be able to have money set aside. We talk about having that emergency fund set aside, you know, $1,000 or 3 months salary. But then having all those extras set aside, you know, for a new car, you know, for helping us to pay down our mortgage, for our savings, emergencies at home, new appliances, that kind of stuff, travel. Those are all the kind of accounts we have. We in each month set aside little bits for that. And so that's been a lifesaver.
Yeah.
So once again, that got gleaned in conversation with others.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, I love that in conversation with others as well, you do get these kind of different, like things that you didn't know. Often we've said that, I know I've said it probably thousands of times, you don't know what you don't know. And so, you know, coming into that conversation with a with an attitude, in a sense, of saying, I'm here to learn, I'm here, and then as well, in a sense, being, I was going to say, I'm here to learn, but I want to learn with wisdom. I'm not just taking everything everybody says. In different seasons, getting that set up and in place is going to be what rings true, and I'm just going to do that, and then I'll move on. And again, there's a couple of thoughts, you know, the student is only ready, or the teacher is only there when the student is ready, that old saying. And those are come into play really well here in terms of as we talk about community, and as in a sense, we submit into the community to as acts, somebody had to share that there was a need. right? And then somebody had to actually open up and say, yeah, but I've got resources that can meet that need. And those two people had to come together in the same community.
And I think this is really important that sometimes we gravitate to the people that are like us. And I'm thinking about any single women who are separated, divorced. I guess because I'm often thinking about who are struggling financially and they're listening and saying, well, that's great for people who have money to, you know, talk about how you're giving and, you know, but where do I fit in as a single mom who has three kids? And in the context of Acts 2, they will all would have been together helping each other. Not because, you know, people are so afraid of handouts or whatever, taking charity or all of that. We have some limiting beliefs in our heads around how we're supposed to help or be in community. And for the people who have the need, it's hard to enter that space. And then the people who have resources, sometimes we come with a list of what giving should look like. And sometimes we have to drop all of that at the door before we enter in. And I don't, there's no formula for it. I think it's hard. Like, it's hard. Like, I've had to learn to like, stop judging. Stop judging what you see. Stop doing it. I have to tell myself this. Not today. No, thank you. Stop those thoughts in your head because you don't know their story. And then I hear it. The more I'm aware of it in myself, the more I hear it in the body of Christ. Well, this is what stewardship looks like. They're probably not doing what they should. And then you're like, well, where does a woman who's struggling to feed her family feel with that in the room? You don't want to be a part of that community. And anyway, I know, I don't know why I'm kind of going sideways.
Ray and I are trying to figure out where is this going.
I know, but I mean, those are the beautiful things that you've shared that you've learned. And those things can be learned in community together. But I'm hearing these voices in my head of the listeners saying, well, what if we don't have all of that privilege? What if we are struggling? And what if we feel judged in those spaces because we don't fit in? And somehow I don't have the answer. I have no answers other than I see what they did in Acts 2.
And I do love what they did, like the four things that are listed there in Acts 2. You know, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostle, which if we want to translate that a little bit, is to what is truth? Again, they were figuring that out, just like we're figuring that out. What is the real truth of Christ? And that's, again, the apostles had dedicated themselves to going, what does it look like to live in this earth the kingdom way? We've got this example of Jesus that we are trying to live out, and they're trying to figure it out just like we are trying to figure it out that way. But I love that it goes on in this fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. It is pretty tough. If you're in community and you're able to pray together, you're able to eat together and, you know, do life together. That's, I think, what fellowship means, but to do life together, that if you see a need, you're going to go, this is family. All of a sudden we've wrapped ourselves around this new family and we've said, you got a need? Ray, if you had a need, you're my family. I'm going to do what I can to help that. And that's what family does for family. And I think that when we talk about this, really, what can we, you know, can we bring some of that family stuff into our communities that we're living in and maybe avoid some of the other comparative.
Because I imagine if you're across the table eating macaroni and salad, macaroni salad, and you're talking about and the woman in need says, oh, yeah, my daughter really wants to play hockey this, you know, but we just can't do it. And then everybody pitches in and says, well, we'll get her to play hockey. Right. So, like, wouldn't that
be fun?
That's
not holy. That's not holy, right?
Well, no, so,
come on.
No, but this is about being in community and being able to talk about the need. Did you ever discover, I know there's like about 5 minutes left. We could talk about this forever, but did you find pretense in those discussions? Did you find people coming with opposing kind of, like, I'm sure you've discovered it.
I would say yes, but I think You know, if I think about the group, because I think they were 8 to 10 weeks. So initially mm-hmm. there's this posturing, there's this mm-hmm. protectiveness, you know, that right. kind of stuff. But I think if you actually are generally opening your heart up mm-hmm. and over time the trust begins to build, I think then there's something that begins to shift in people's ability to hear others differently mm. and get past. Because I was thinking as I heard you talking about that, you know, my own judgments around people who are struggling around that inhibit me sometimes mm-hmm. from actually hearing the Lord say, I'm doing something in her life. Can you trust me? I'm just looking for you to be obedient. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It has nothing to do with her. It has to do with what I want you to do and your heart before yeah. me in that process. So if you're willing to do that, trust me when I'm working out in those individual lives. Mm-hmm. And so I look at that and think, okay, Lord, I would like to be that obedient in those who are struggling, you know, single moms or divorcees, mm-hmm. you know, struggling with imagine all kinds of issues. How can I be a blessing yet? How can I be an expression of God's love in that midst of that? Mm-hmm. But that comes back to me. So I'm, you know, I feel challenged today hearing that. It's mm-hmm. like, Lord, is my heart completely surrendered in that?
Well, I could weep this morning because I think the needs are so great. And Lord God, we need help. Mm-hmm. We need help to be community. The place where we can talk about money. We can hear someone's story without feeling like we have to rescue anybody, but also saying, Lord, what are your creative ideas for us to be that wraparound family that we can support and help? Because the person who's in need also offers something. We think that that woman can offer it. She can offer tons if we are paying attention, but in different ways. Like not everybody in the Acts 2 had a, like Barnabas had a house and sold it and brought the money to the elders. I mean, that's later on. There's that story about him, but.
Well, we have to wrap up, but you know, I want to, you know, again, this wraps into just the practical Good Samaritan story, where again, there's this, your community can be one person. What did he do? He did something that was right. There's a person on the side of the road dying. I have the resources, the time, the money, all of that. We won't get into the story because we only have a few minutes left, but the Good Samaritan sees it. He sees the truth of it. He goes and takes care of it and he walks away. We never hear the end of the story, but I'm sure he walks away going, I'm not expecting any recompense or any response. I'm just going to take care of my fellow human being. And sometimes we just need to do the simple thing like that. It's just, we see a need and we got to take care of it regardless of what it's going to cost us because it is the right thing to do.
You can pray, or Ray can pray, but as you said, we drop the judgment at the door mm-hmm. so that we can hear from the Lord, but how he wants us involved in that community of mm-hmm.
Provided right. we recognize the judgments there.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Yeah.
So Father, we say, thank you, Lord. Father, that as we surrender our hearts in this area, Lord, that you teach us whether we have plenty or whether we have want. And so, Father, as this example in Acts of the new church, Lord, as they were gathering together and went from house to house, Lord, that there was an enriching of their lives. And Lord, that they challenged and provoked mm-hmm. each other, but Lord, that they met the needs that were there, the expressed needs and the unexpressed needs. And so, Father, may each one of us listening and viewing today hear your Spirit speaking to us about what we need to be doing in this moment in time in the lives of those around us. So lead us by your Holy Spirit. Continue to teach us. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you once again, Ray, for your support, your friendship, and being here. Thank you, guests, for joining us, and join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.